From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. Hey, everybody, I'm Nate Russell. Welcome in to episode number 32 of the Digital Podcast. If this is your first episode, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. This is a podcast that features cool conversations with hot comedy filmmakers. Or maybe I reversed that. I think I used to say hot conversations with cool comedy filmmakers. But you know what? Either way, it applies. It's the hot, cool. And in either direction, it's true. And today, we've got a hot one. David Sidorov was my guest on this episode. David, a friend here at UCB Comedy, a member of one of our digital teams, Fronson & Fronson. He actually was on the show a few episodes back, talking about the series that we released with them a few months ago. David's a writer and a director, a ton of experience with The Onion. He's actually on his second go-round with The Onion. The Onion, which left New York City a couple years ago, and David was part of that transition from New York to Chicago for The Onion video. And then he left The Onion, moved back to New York. And guess what? When they came back to New York City, they called him up and said, "Hey, David, want to come back?" And he said, "Oh, hell yeah." Maybe he didn't say it like that. But he said, let's go back and give it a second go around. We get into all that with David, a great writer and director. We'll just more on that in just 1 minute. But hey, guys, it's been a busy summer. If you're following us on Facebook and Twitter, UCB Digital Podcast on Facebook and at UCB Digital on Twitter, you're seeing that we're tweeting and Facebooking a lot of articles about the rapid flattening of the media landscape. And as summer sort of is coming to a close here, I want to just point out some of these things that we've been sort of passing out there. If you've noticed, we've seen Time Warner investing in Hulu, taking a 10% stake in Hulu, and then Hulu dropping their ad-based service. So we're seeing the sort of like landscape of what was network television's way of being a participant in the digital space and having a free option for that. That dries up. Kind of interesting. We're seeing SNL and The Voice at NBC starting to produce shows for Snapchat. So not just seeing those mediums as secondary content or supplemental screens, but producing original content as part of that property for the digital site. We're seeing places like Turner investing big money in our friends at Above Average and Refinery 29. We're seeing that old media sort of like getting into that new media space as well. And then an article I sent out a couple weeks ago says cable revenue forecasts are going to drop $2.7 billion in the next 10 years. So we're seeing the shift happening, y'all. This has been a busy summer for all this stuff. We're trying to track it. We're trying to see how it affects our work, your work, the landscape of digital media and the sort of filmmaking world as the sort of world becomes flatter. It's been a really busy year for that. So we're going to keep tracking that stuff and follow us on Facebook and Twitter to keep sharing that stuff and have a conversation with us. We'd love to talk to you about your thoughts on what it all means because it's happening so fast that we can barely keep up with it. A little UCB comedy update for you guys. We're excited because we've been working on a 6-part docuseries with our friends at Fusion, and it's coming your way. It finally drops on the 6th of September. So the day after Labor Day, we've got a 6-part documentary series, docu-comedy series, coming for you. It's on Fusion's F Comedy site. Fusion, of course, the Univision-owned millennial news and comedy network. Our friends from The Chris Gethard Show are over there. They produce all sorts of great content. We're excited to be part of that Fusion F Comedy family with this new series, UCB IRL. It's basically a series. They are 6 discrete documentaries. It's not a series that tells a narrative episode to episode, but we basically went out to some of our favorite comedians here in New York at UCB and sort of said, what's a subject that's close to your heart? What can we explore in a comedic way through a documentary? And Fusion liked 6 of them. We said, hey, let's make a series out of it. So we've just spent the last 10 months producing these. We're really proud of them and excited to sort of drop those on the 6th of September. We cover topics from a really wide spectrum, from stuff like digital detox, where our friend Vincent Moore, we basically blindfolded him and drove him 20 miles outside of New York City. He had no idea where he was, and he had about 8 hours to find his way home, and he couldn't use any technology to do it. That was really fun. To racial tokenism, a social experiment where our friend James III basically turned the token experience that he's had on its head and decides to tokenize some of his white friends as a social experiment. So that was really fun and enlightening as well. To vasectomies, where our friend Timmy Wood, we tracked his vasectomy and used that to shine a light on male birth control issues, which I know that before I worked on that project, I had very little knowledge of the options for male birth control in a serious way in the world right now. And so it was a really fun documentary and really fun to work on that with Timmy. Timmy actually passed a couple of months ago. It was post-vasectomy, totally unrelated medical issue. But it was really, we're really excited too that this series is coming out because it's going to be Timmy's last, one of his last pieces to hit the world. And we're excited because it's a really positive reflection of our friend Timmy, who we miss very much, and of his comedy and his sort of an issue that was very close to his heart as well. So we're really excited. Check it out. We'll be, you know, tweeting it and Facebooking it and all the sort of requisite social media publicity for it. But check it out. It's on F Comedy and Fusion's YouTube page. We're actually releasing all 6th on September 6th and then on YouTube. And then we'll be sort of rolling out a Facebook release on a weekly basis over the course of 6 weeks or so. Again, part of that, if you've been listening to this podcast, the sort of Facebook takeover, right? Facebook takeover video. We got to bow to it. But all 6 coming out on YouTube on September 6th. All right, let's dig into today's episode with our good friend, David Sidaroff. David's a writer and David is a director. All sorts of credits, including NYU's Hammer Cats. He's also worked at The Onion in several different capacities at the Onion News Network, for Onion Digital Studios, and now for the Onion sort of like Digital Studios Part 2 back here in New York City. That's where he works right now. He's directed for Above Average, Mashable, written for Billy on the Street, and and directed an NYTVF pilot a couple years ago that won Best Writing. So we sat down to David to talk to him about his journey as a writer and a director. And definitely one of the things I noticed in this conversation was that David is the kind of guy, the kind of writer who is very talented at writing and directing for a style that isn't necessarily uniquely David. It's not the auteur sort of path that he's treading. It's the staff writer path. And it's very interesting to hear him talk about his process and the way that he does that because he does it well. He keeps booking jobs on it. He's a great guy, and we're really excited to sort of present this conversation with David Sidaroff. So, David, you're back at The Onion.
I am.
Exciting. That's right. Second go-round.
Yeah.
The gang is back together.
Something like that, yeah.
How many of you guys who are there now are from the last iteration in New York City?
Last iteration in New York City. That's a great question. I would say 3 or 4 maybe, yeah.
Does it have a feel that – what's the feel difference? Does it feel like a different thing, new parent company,
it
new
does,
process?
It does, yeah. I mean, I was there in Chicago, and this is for the video department, the video writing department, it's a lot of different people.
Yeah.
There's some people who were there in New York. There's some brand new people. And we're trying to do totally new things. So it's – you know, in some ways there are things that are familiar, but there's a lot of new stuff that we're trying to do too.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Matt Kleiman. He was saying that the production is still out of Chicago. And you've
correct.
Been back to Chicago a few
yes.
times already.
Yes.
So what's that like? So you guys are writing – you have a writer's room in New York.
Yes.
Any production apparatus in New York?
No.
And so when something's ready to go, you hit send on the file. It goes to Chicago and then it gets made there?
Right. We haven't done much of it yet.
Uh-huh.
We're going to see how that works. I'm excited.
That's
wild.
I mean,
it should be, there's a great team out there. I like all them a lot. And yeah, the things that I've gone out for, we did this round of DNC and RNC related videos.
Yeah.
So myself and one other writer went out to like co-direct those.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, we were there for the shoots.
Yeah.
And we kind of alternated being there for post-production on those. And then I think we're trying to set up a system where we can send scripts and have them be made there.
Right.
And occasionally some of us might go out there a little bit. And yeah.
So in your role there now, in the previous iteration, in the 2012 iteration, you were writing and directing, right?
Yes. I moved to Chicago for a job which was a writing job that became a lot of directing also.
Okay.
So I was writing and directing from like 2012 to 2015 or so.
And now...
Now it's similar. Yeah, it's basically the same. I'm writing. Same. Yeah, writing and directing. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And yeah. But the directing work we'll is in Chicago.
If it, yeah, we'll see how when much. It, when we'll, it yes, happen. We'll see how much cool. It ends up being directing in Chicago and how much mainly is writing here. Right.
That's
now.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's very fun.
Yeah.
You'll get some frequent flyer miles.
Oh yeah, that, right? Can't wait.
Cool. Well, maybe let's go at it like this. So then the balance of stuff that you present yourself as is writer and director.
Yes.
What's the sort of like experience background in both that – what's the percentage at this point that you're sort of
that's
making your living on?
Yeah. I mean that's kind of a thing that I like think about a lot and I have different feelings every few weeks, you know. I probably right now in this job I'm doing more writing, definitely. Okay. Overall, I like to do both a lot, and I'd say 50-50 in life. Yeah,
okay.
I guess so. Yeah, but I definitely fluctuate. There are months where I'm, like, doing a lot more directing, and I'm like, yep, this is great. There are months where I'm doing a lot more writing. Right now, I'd say I'm definitely writing a lot more.
Writing more than directing. Yeah. But that's also partially because of this gig.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, it was a little bit more directing.
I definitely did a... There was a period right before I started this new Onion job where I was doing a lot of like freelance directing,
mm-hmm.
but also writing stuff. Yeah. I mean, I was on Billy on the Street as a writer for a mm-hmm. couple weeks. And then I did like about a couple months of like a lot of like freelance directing stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
When, you know, it's funny. I feel like I spent 10 years in New York
mm-hmm.
and most of, because I went to NYU as mm-hmm. you did too.
Yes.
And I feel like most of the
I didn't
people,
know that, I don't think. Yeah,
yeah
this is great.
It's weird, right? I feel like most of the people who I went to school with as contemporaries, either they're not in New York anymore or they sort of – because they went to L.A. to do stuff or they're out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I see pictures on Facebook and it's like they own a house in Michigan and they look really happy. You
know
what I mean? Like,
and the,
they're
the,
out of it.
Yeah, it always says, I'm out. That's
yeah,
the,
I'm
like,
out.
The
status,
yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
But so I spent a long time not – knowing a lot of people from NYU, and I feel like the last 2 years I keep meeting new people who mm-hmm. like had an NYU experience too. It's so weird.
We had a moment in this Onion writer's room recently where we realized that everyone who was in the room at that given time had graduated from NYU.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And no, we didn't know that, like it was not – that's not how that group came together in
yeah.
any way, but it just happened to be.
So what did you go to school there for? Film?
Film and TV, yes.
Film and TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And while you were there, you were doing Hammercats.
That's right.
So you sort of wanted to do comedy early on.
Yes.
And in a film sense, film comedy.
Yeah. I mean, I knew about Hammercats before I got to NYU.
Yeah.
And had been excited to, like, see them perform and audition and stuff like that when I got there. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say, like, it was at the beginning of college that I was definitely interested in comedy.
And it seems like and I didn't do Hammercats mm-hmm. when I was there. I didn't really know about it. I was in the film program, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. That wasn't like really on my
yeah.
radar at that time. But it seems like it's quite a community of people at this point. There's such an alumni sort of mm-hmm. network from that group specifically that are in comedy and in the sort of like film business too.
Yeah.
How helpful was that sort of like coming out of school, starting to work? You know what I mean? How did you make that transition into starting to work? And what were those sort of early gigs for you?
Did that
network help?
I mean, it has definitely helped because it's been like the group that I continue to work with on anything,
yeah.
like and it, like some of my best friends and stuff like that. I would say the professional stuff that happened for me right out of school mostly came from having interned at The Onion. I was interning at The Onion like throughout college,
yeah.
and then right after graduating, got a job as an assistant on The Onion's IFC show.
Okay.
Which was happening the summer after I graduated. And then from there, I kind of like stuck with it in a couple like different roles. I was like a producer and editor for The Onion for a while in New
mm-hmm.
York. And then by the time that they were moving to Chicago, I applied for that writing job.
Oh, wow. So it was like
so it was from,
Onion pretty early on.
It was Onion pretty early on, yeah. I mean, it was I was doing Hammercats stuff and I was taking UCB classes all like during college, which is like a luxury of being at NYU for sure. And it just happened to be like that those contacts I made at The Onion, I stuck around there in a couple different roles.
Yeah.
And then that led to that first writing job.
What is the sort of like environment there? Like when you're looking at it from a development, personal development
mm-hmm.
standpoint, How did that environment sort of like shape your approach as a writer and as a filmmaker at The Onion? Because it seems like it's quite a – it's a joke factory,
yeah.
Right? There's a lot of jokes flowing through that place, and you got to have some good ones to get them through as a
Totally,
writer.
Yeah. I think that from a writing and directing standpoint, it's helped a lot. I mean, I think it has kind of instilled in me a sense of like not being too precious about any of my own material.
Sure.
And writing a lot before I choose something that I think rises to the top, that is like worthy of being made. That's something that I think I've taken from the Onion process to work outside of that. I think the idea of like committing to a joke and playing it very straight and real also has kind of been instilled in me from that process. Yeah.
And when you first started getting writing opportunities there, what was the format? You hear
in
people
way,
that,
yeah.
like, is it, was it like headline contribution? Was it in the room? Was it writing articles? Was it video side?
It was this, there was a call to do a packet for this new writing job that was going to be in Chicago.
Cool.
And I had done like, I mean, I had never really submitted anything to The Onion before that, but I had written a lot of stuff and like tried to have something ready in case I ever had that opportunity to submit. And I got notes from people who I trusted there and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was my first time putting together a packet.
And you got the job off of that?
I got a job off of a packet. But, I had been there like kind of like ruminating in it and like, you know, writing a lot of like headlines and deleting them and being like, that wouldn't be good enough for this and that kind of stuff. And getting notes from people and stuff like that.
And so in the period before you were a writer at The Onion, what other stuff were you working on, other stuff outside of there or what
else
were you
totally.
Working on?
I worked at NYU for a bit at the NYU TV station as like a producer and editor. After college and after Hammercats, a couple of my Hammercats friends and I started a sketch group and we were making stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
We were called Chess Club.
Cool.
Those were the big things out of college, I guess.
And when you got that job, you said you had to move to Chicago.
Yes.
And so that was part of The Onion moving to Chicago is when you got that job.
Mm-hmm.
What was the what was that like to move uproot? You must have been in New York for a while before that.
Yeah.
You're uprooting, taking down another city.
Yeah, I mean, I was thrilled to even be considered for that job. So I was like, yep, where do you need me? But it definitely was I never saw myself like moving to Chicago. Before that. So, I was very young and very lucky to get that. So I was like super grateful and excited to start. My girlfriend at the time and now fiance was in New York. So that was a whole thing.
And so you move out there. It's a writing job.
Yes.
And what's the process to transition into more directing work at The Onion?
It's always kind of been, at least even before I started there and when I was interning, I noticed this, like a lot of the writers would direct pieces. The way that it had been structured at that point was like there was a creative director who directed like the majority of it, but then the writers all had opportunities to like direct stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I did come from like a directing background at NYU and having directed some stuff before that and I guess I just like expressed interest if it ever came up that we needed extra directors, and then it kind of just naturally happened that I kind of did more and more of them.
Yeah. And was that how much did that become the job? Was it balanced evenly, or was it like it was always writing first?
Yes, writing first, and then if there was a period of time, we would batch shoot things.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be like a period of a few weeks where I was in less of the writers' meetings and I was in more production meetings. Basically be how it would work.
And then when did you come back to New York?
2015. March of 2015, yeah.
So that was like a 3-year stint in
Chicago. It was like 2.5, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How many things do you think you directed in that time?
Oh, wow. I would love to. I should go back and count.
What do you think?
Great question. I don't know.
More than 20?
Yes, more than 20.
More than 50?
Probably somewhere between 20 and 50. 20, okay. 20, 30 maybe? 20 to somewhere between 20 and 50, I think. Yeah.
Okay. And when sort of like approaching that stuff in the Onion environment, which again has a template to the relatively to the structure of the – it's a specific parody, right? Yeah. Even in the video world, it's a specific structure to it. What was your approach to that work as a director?
I think the first thing was always finding real-world references. That's the easiest way to, like, communicate to the entire crew, like, this is what we're going for. And that's what led to the best, like, the best product.
Yeah.
So it would be pulling references. I mean, in that case, it was, like, cable news.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that was, like, basically the first step.
And were you working with big crews, or how big is the crew?
It varied. I mean, we went through a lot of different types of productions that we were doing. Some were very bare bones, and some we were lucky to work with bigger crews,
Yeah. Cool. I mean, I guess, like, part of what I'm curious about in terms of your growth as a filmmaker is that you made a decision to leave and come back to New York.
Yes.
And now you're back there.
Yes.
So how does that happen? What's that process like? Why did you move back to New York and leave Danny in the first place?
I had just – I mean, the main reason was geography and wanting to be back in New York and feeling like I had been in Chicago for a bit and done that and wanted – I mean, I had been at that one company basically since I graduated college and was like, I think it would be fun to see what else there is, and especially in New York where my – then girlfriend, now fiance, lived. So that was the main reason.
But in sort of moving back, was there anything you were coming back to job wise, or was it a
No, it was a leap of faith in a lot of ways.
Sure,
and it was also, I mean, like at that point in time, The Onion was scaling back some of the video things that they were working on, and it felt like, for a lot of reasons, it made sense timing-wise that then would be the time to try this. And it was, I mean, it was definitely scary because it was like, oh, this is a dream job in a lot of ways, and I love the people and everything, and
But sort of life puts you in that position to make that leap.
Totally.
But it wasn't – so it wasn't the sort of thing where it's like, I got out of this everything I can get out of it. Obviously, you've gone back, there's more to get.
Yeah,
a new opportunity.
Absolutely.
It's a new structure.
Yeah.
In moving back to New York, what was that process like to get the sort of like work world started back up again without The Onion?
I guess I still had a lot of like contacts back here. I mean, a big part of me being in Chicago is I always felt like a lot of my community and like friends who I like making stuff with were back here.
Yeah.
So that was a big part of wanting to get back here. So I felt it wasn't like scary coming back to New York because I was like, I felt like I was back in the community where I felt best, I guess.
Sure.
And I guess at that point I had like worked up a lot of like samples that I was able to put together a reel and like send it around to people and do a little bit of freelance stuff. And then I worked at Mashable for a bit. And then I guess,
What was that like at Mashable? Was that directing work or writing work?
It was a little bit of both. I mean, it was like kind of like writing and directing comedy videos for them, which was a very interesting learning experience for sure.
Yeah, that must have – because there also is a – like those are two big digital companies, right? Mashable and The Onion with very different sort of like approaches to their content.
Right.
So maybe the question is what did the sort of Onion process, you know, what was the same about it and what was different about going to Mashable?
I would say like almost everything was different.
Everything was different.
Yeah. And I tried to like bring some, you know, I tried to bring some things that I thought would like work to the table, like in terms of like how to structure things and trying to bring the same level of quality to stuff and as much as I could. But yeah, it was definitely like a super interesting learning experience. I mean, it was the first like big company other than The Onion that I'd worked for, and just like my first real experience in like this crazy changing media landscape that we all live in.
Yeah. Here's a question that I wonder. What I wonder is, so much of your work, especially The Onion, is kind of in a voice that's pretty well established. But I also think that having seen some of the other stuff that you've done, I haven't seen the full MITVF pilot, but I saw like enough to sort of see what the characteristic of that was. Now, was a full half-hour pilot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And seeing the stuff that you've done since you've been here, it feels like you definitely have a taste that goes beyond just the onion. Mm-hmm. What was it like going from the world of working inside of that established voice for so long to starting to work more on your own stuff? How do you differentiate between your voice and their voice?
Great question. I think that, I mean, I feel like I'm constantly trying to find my own voice. Yeah. And I think that, like, having worked in – you're right. It's a very specific brand and a very specific voice. And yeah. I think that in the opportunities I get to do other things, it only makes me more excited to do things that are very different.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to being in that voice and mm-hmm. that brand. But I don't know that I could really, like, describe what my voice is outside of that, because I feel like I'm just still trying to find it even. You know yeah. what I mean? And that pilot you're talking about, I also didn't write that. That was me. I was just directing it. So I think in that case, I was trying to translate what was written to the screen in the best way.
Sure.
And it was even less of my own personal, like, this is what I want to say to the world. So this is, like, this is a script I really like, and this is the way that I think it can be yeah. translated best.
Achieved, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that, yeah. It's so interesting because it does sound like so much of your professional experience is in that environment where it's not necessarily David's distinct mm-hmm. voice, right?
Yeah.
But you're also a writer.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just interesting to me because a lot of times I feel like writer-directors, the template is, well, I do things. When I write them, I direct them.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah.
This is me, auteur sort of like vision that I must bring to this right. work. And it's harder for them to take a job
right.
where somebody's like, no, you got to do this thing that is in somebody else's voice.
Right. No, yeah. I like to collaborate a lot. And I yeah. think that there definitely are projects where I write them and I'm like, I want to direct this. I think I am the best person to direct it, et cetera. Yeah. But there are plenty of projects where I write them and I think someone else can do a better job directing this.
Yeah.
Or something that someone else wrote that I'm like, I would really love to take a stab at directing it. I mean, that was the case with that pilot. Yeah, I mean, I think that, I like collaborating with people. And I think that even if it is something that I'm writing and directing, mm-hmm. if I get too far along in the process without anyone else's input, I get, like, scared. You know yeah. what I mean? I'm like, I want other people to be, like, working with me on this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think that's kind of unique, you know? I think that's an interesting skill to have. Do you prefer when you're directing to be directing? Do you prefer it when it's somebody else's writing?
Not necessarily. It really depends on the project. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's hard to direct something I'm not passionate about.
Sure.
So it has to be something that I really love and love working with the people and love yeah. working with the writers.
Yeah.
So no, I don't think it's one or the other. I think it really depends on the project. Yeah.
I mean, I can definitely recognize some of that. I think I've been feeling lately that because I have been doing more directing of stuff that other people have been writing.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not an all the time sort of thing, but I do like the freedom of being fresh eyes on an idea in
yeah.
a way. Not feeling so close to it that mm-hmm. I'm like in the middle of production being like, oh boy, did I write good enough jokes?
Right.
Even if it feels strong, you still have that voice in the back of your head that's like, did I screw this up in the scripting?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Whereas if it's somebody else's, you just bring to it the joy of I like this thing,
right?
And I kind of want to make it as good as it can be.
Yeah,
and there's something liberating about that.
Yeah, yeah. But I also think at the same time, as a director, in a lot of cases, you're the last say on it. So you, I think you want to make sure that it's something that you like are excited to be the last yeah. say on. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. You know what I've wondered because I thought you know, and so it was about a year ago. Or maybe a year and a half ago that you sort of like applied for a digital team mm-hmm. here. And I remember thinking, boy, that's a get for us, man. You got a lot of experience on both sides of the process. What sort of like drew you to this place and wanted to sort of make some stuff around here with your digital team, Fronson?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was around the time I was moving back to New York. And I had done UCB stuff before moving to Chicago. And I missed it a lot. And I felt like... I mean, I was just excited to find any way of like kind of getting back into the community and mm-hmm. meeting people I didn't know and working on UCB stuff again. So this seemed like a good way of doing that and keeping like like the muscles going or whatever, sure. and being able to work on something fun with a good group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also seems like it's a good fit in terms of the structure here is very like collaborative
mm-hmm.
and you do have your voice into it, but it also is like a voice of something bigger that sounds like all that professional experience plays into it too.
Yeah. Man, I think the group that you guys put together is a great group. We're called Fronson and Fronson. But yeah, no, I think we all like mesh together really well and have a lot of the same sensibilities and complement each other really well. And yeah, it's been going good so far.
Cool. I want to talk about your process as a director.
Mm-hmm.
What are the relationships in the production process that you enjoy the most? You like working with DPs, actors? What's the relationship that you're like, oh yeah, I love that shit?
Yeah, I mean, I love working with actors. I love working with DPs, and I like developing relationships with DPs
mm-hmm.
to the point where like we have like a shorthand. I feel like I know certain things about cameras, but mm-hmm. DPs are always going to know so much more than I do, and I trust them so inherently with everything. Yeah, I mean,
do you go into it? Like, how much of a visual plan do you go into it with? Are you the kind of director that has the storyboard, or is it?
I make shot lists.
Make shot lists.
I make a shot list, and I run it by the DP,
mm-hmm.
and get their feedback and see if they have any changes to it. Yeah.
And how much of that? How much? You sort of how much do you are you looking for input, or how strongly do you feel about the sort of visual side of the process as you're approaching the
work? I mean, I like to kind of know sort of in my head how it's going to look and mm-hmm. how it's going to cut together, but be very open to that changing.
Sure.
Especially like getting to the shoot and seeing that it's, you know, you have to be open to anything being different on the day. And I also do like to imagine in my head how it's going to cut together. And I think yeah. that – because I did edit a lot like previously. So I think that helps me kind of – I naturally see it that way a little
mm-hmm,
bit
mm-hmm.
as I'm putting together a shot list.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And you said you enjoy the sort of actor relationship
mm-hmm.
as well. What about that process? Like what's your sort of process there working with actors?
I mean, I love just like working with people I like in general. I mean, it makes it so much fun, you know. I mean, what part of the process, like on the day or on?
Well,
the,
maybe yeah. how much yeah. like? What's the right way to ask this?
I mean, yeah. I guess it kind of depends on the project again, like
yeah.
It depends what the script demands and what kind of thing we're working on. I mean, the process for working with actors in an Onion shoot is very different from working with actors on like a UCB sketch or something.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, maybe then the question would be, how do you approach working with actors in that Onion environment?
Mm-hmm.
What is that like?
'Cause
a lot of times you're not working with that. You're working with actors who are cast for a specific type of role.
Right.
But they're not especially meant to be a known actor. Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a really tricky, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Sweet spot to hit. Like, a lot of, you're working with a mix of people. Some of them have real news. I mean, when we did cable news stuff, you're working with some people who have real news backgrounds. And they sometimes, you know, they don't necessarily have the same background that someone who has an acting background does.
Sure.
But also they're able to like kind of internalize the like newscastery feel of it, or mm-hmm. like you can give them like, oh, it's this type of a news story, and they'll just nail it. They know exactly what they're doing because
mm-hmm.
they have that kind of training. But you're also sometimes working with like incredible like theater actors who have to play like they're just like, someone in this news world.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, with that stuff, it tends to be like a lot of takes in general on those types of things.
Hmm.
The rule of thumb is to never like kind of overemphasize the joke. there's not a lot of improv on those. Uh-huh. But I think it still is like a pretty fun set. I think with anything, you have to make it like a very fun set. You yeah. know? Yeah.
That's interesting, too. It does seem like those jokes with the Onion are so tight and so mm-hmm. tightly scripted. Yeah, you probably don't have a lot of play in terms of
yeah,
making
I mean,
changes on the day.
There are, I mean, there will usually be like a writer on set, yeah. and there will be a lot of alts. So yeah. there'll be like alts for lines. So we might do like one chunk that has like several different jokes in it, like different variations on it. But there won't be a lot of like improv the way there might be if you're working on a sketch with friends who are improvisers and yeah.
Is there a preferred way that you like to work? Or you like both equally?
I do like both equally. I think that, I mean, I guess I tend to not do a ton of improv.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that's like part of the DNA of whatever we're making that,
sure.
yeah, it needs that. Yeah.
What about on the writer side when you're writing but not directing
mm-hmm.
at The Onion? What's the relationship with the director that you like to have? What are the tenets of that relationship? If someone's out there and is a director working with writers, what's the sort of like advice you'd have as a writer, how you like to be approached as a collaborator?
Yeah, that's also a great question. I think that, like, in the times where I've been a writer on something at The Onion or outside of The Onion, mm-hmm. I've been, like, it's been refreshing to have someone else who's a director. So I'm, like, excited. And I think that if yeah. that's going to be your role in something, you should be excited that someone else is going to be, like, kind of giving their own input into this and how to make it clear.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other good advice I have for that.
Is it yeah. I mean, I guess it's also like, again, with the Onion stuff, it feels like all that stuff is in such a tight voice that probably people have, any director who's coming on board already has an understanding of what the expectation of the piece is and the mm-hmm. style.
Yeah.
There probably isn't a lot of of translation needed in terms of like what the approach of this comedy should
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to like just ask the director, like, what do you need? I think, you know, yeah. like, what do you want? Like, what's going to make you feel more comfortable on set? Do you need alts for anything, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, and just being available, I think, is the most important thing. Like, being available if questions come up and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And so when you were in that transition period, just to go back to that mm-hmm. for a second, the period between Onion stints,
mm-hmm.
you had sort of like picked up a decent amount of like freelance directing work too, mm-hmm. right? What was that? What's the process of like getting those gigs and being successful in those gigs like? Because that's a different skill.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was, you know, a lot of those came through like people I knew, networking, I guess.
Always the way. Always.
And having had built up like a reel from other stuff that I had done.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I mean, feel that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've never gotten a job off of a piece of paper.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
My entire
yeah.
like time out of school.
Yeah.
It's like maybe the internship, like first internships at a place were like the only time that like a resume ever got me in the door.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
always been somebody knows you, you're available that time, go
yes,
do it.
Yes, exactly. You know it's being in the right place at the right time.
And available for
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in terms of like being successful in those jobs, because being recommended by somebody who you know is one thing.
Right.
But I think as a freelance director, you're probably also coming into stuff maybe a little with a little
yeah,
less lead time.
Totally.
A little less investment.
Yeah.
So what's the success of like doing that and getting asked back or getting referred to the next thing?
I think you just have to be like really aware of your surroundings
yeah.
and like know where you are and what the goal is that you're trying to do and what is being asked of you really. I think directors on different projects are expected different things are expected of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's good to kind of come and get the lay of the land. Like, make sure you have a lot of information up front. Like, what is this? Who are there
yeah.
clients involved? If it's like a branded content thing, like who's going to have notes? Who's mm-hmm. going to, what's this process going to be like? Kind of know enough about that at the outset so that you're not like surprised by anything down the line.
Sure.
Yeah.
And maybe let me ask you a bigger question, because it also sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the majority of stuff that you've done has been in the sort of like digital space and in the short form space.
Very true.
What's the sort of like, what's the top of the mountain for you? Where does this career sort of like build towards? Like, and I'm wondering because you're working for big companies, you're working for fun projects in that short form space. And I think that we are approaching a world very soon there's a great career to be had in that space. Mm-hmm. Is it for you, is it about like continuing to do good stuff in that short form space? Or is it about translating that into bigger pieces? Where's it all headed, man? Where's it all headed?
I ask myself that every day. I don't know. What the fuck am I doing? I don't know. I think first and foremost, I want to work on stuff that I'm passionate about, whether it's short form or long form or TV or movies. I would love to make a movie at some point in my life. I think that would be really cool.
Sounds like fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun. But I would also, I mean, I love what I'm doing now. And I think it's, like working on things I'm excited about with good people and being proud of it more so than the form. Because I think the form, like you said, it's all changing. And there's no difference between TV and the internet anymore. And I think as long as I'm excited about the project, I'm excited, you know.
You seem like you have a very pragmatic approach to your career.
Thank you.
I think it's a compliment. I think it's a compliment. Sometimes I think you talk to people in this business and they're like, have this grand sort of artistic value of self, right? It's
sure.
Like, what I'm doing now is not good enough for me. You know what I mean? I don't really feel that way. I think it's refreshing.
But I think the steps
you're making, it feels very pragmatic.
I think I try to think of things like, if I have an idea, I think, what is that idea? You know, like, what is the best version of this idea?
Yeah.
And sometimes that's like, oh, it's a sketch. I'm going to bring it into my UCB team. Sometimes it's, oh, this is a movie. I need to like think about writing this at some point down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like, this would be better as a TV show. Like, should I try to be pitching this somehow? Like, I think that there's no like answer of like, I want to be doing this type of thing next or like long term.
Yeah.
It's more like, this is something that would be really fun to work on. What's the best version of it? You know
sure.
what I mean?
And you also don't seem to be the kind of guy who has that grass is always greener feel. Because I also think there's a lot of people in this business that are like, where I am right now, the version of me 3 years ago would be jealous to be where I am right now. But where I am now is not good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like you have that attitude.
I mean, I can't pretend that doesn't happen. Like, I feel like that everyone has that at some point in their life with something. Yeah,
sure.
Definitely. But I also, like... Yeah, I mean, especially with the stuff I'm doing right now, I know, like, I'm lucky to be doing this. It's very, like, I feel very lucky and excited about it.
And happy about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is the stuff in this new iteration of The Onion, it's also not necessarily the same stuff you were doing a couple years ago in Chicago?
No, yeah.
It's a new project.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a new challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the type of stuff that you guys are making now? And again, Kleiman was telling me a little bit about it, but it's like there's some short stuff and then there's some like longer lead stuff you guys are working
on. Yeah, we're working on developing that right now. We're trying to figure out what those like new Onion series that we're going to be doing. We did a lot of convention coverage. That was the first big thing that we did together as a group. I think it was like a good first project to work on because it was like very new and it was kind of like unlike anything that we had like done before, and we were kind of like discovering it together.
Yeah.
And I think now we're trying to develop some formats that allow us to do timely coverage, some formats that are a little bit longer gestating. We are trying to develop a variety of different kinds of series right now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds very fun, man.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome. Well, Radical. Well, thanks a lot for sitting down and taking time to chat.
Of course. This is super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, that'll do it for episode number 32 of the UCB Digital Podcast. Thanks to David for sitting down and talking to me. We recorded that one here late one night at the studio, and it was nice of him to take the time. He's a busy guy. It was nice to fit it in and enjoyed talking to him. Hopefully you enjoyed it as well. If you did, give us a rating and a review on iTunes, please. iTunes.com/UCB Comedy. And as always, subscribe. That's the most important part. Subscribe on iTunes.com/UCB Comedy. We're Facebooking and tweeting at UCB Digital all the time. All sorts of tips and tricks and thoughts and discussion about digital filmmaking in the 21st century and beyond, y'all. That's right. We're going to keep this going for at least another century. As always, you can find new videos on YouTube and Vimeo/UCB Comedy, Facebook as well. Follow UCB Comedy at UCB Comedy on social media. And until next time, we'll see you on the internet.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.